Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the third episode of the Under the Tracks podcast. I'm Tyler.
My name's Ethan.
We've got our sound guy, Luca, with us. We're ready to have another fun episode. Well, I'm going to let you handle this one again, E. You can have your fun on your side of New York and get it started.
Yeah, I don't know how much fun we're really having, but the Reds have finally caught up to us in the last spot of the wild card. Currently tied with them, with the Diamondbacks a game behind. The Reds this week swept the Cubs in a four-game series as we lost a series to the Nationals. And now we're all tied up. In the coming days for the last week of the season, the Reds have the Pirates and the Brewers, which Pirates should be an easy sweep, but the Brewers will give them some trouble. And then we have the Cubs and the Marlins. And if I know the Mets, then the Cubs lay down for the Reds, but, you know, put on their best show against us. And then the Diamondbacks have the worst of it all with the Dodgers and the Padres. So, honestly, I think it's really anyone's, spot for this third spot. I would like it to be the Mets, obviously, but, you know, I mean, we'll wait and see. The Mets really just haven't kicked their bad play. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens.
It's going to be an interesting one, especially with the Reds coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
you guys are going to have a tricky road ahead of this. Cubs are going to put on their best foot, and they're probably going to give it to you guys, and it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And, I mean, even if we do make the playoffs, I really don't know how far we're going to get with, you know, how we've been going and how the pitching has been and how not clutch the hitting has been and just how awful we've been overall. So I really don't have high hopes for going into this final week and into October.
Yeah, I saw something on Instagram about the Mets doing some 6-7 thing in their stadium while they're still losing. I don't know if that's a good show, but
but playing baseball. Exactly. That's what we do. Anything but play baseball.
That's what happens at Citi Field. It's just like Grimace last year at the whole.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, I brought some life to the.
Yeah, at least that did some good. This is just overkill.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it's good. I don't think the 6-7 stuff's going to stop the Diamondbacks from maybe chasing you guys down, but
yeah, we're about to be 6-7 games behind in the wild card once this week's done. So
yeah, well, when this week's done, I think you guys are going to be in Cancun having some pina coladas.
Yeah, thank you to the Mets social media team for that one.
Yeah. That's how it goes. It's like a nice jinx. You know?
Yeah, just trying to find, you know, our next rally monkey, but we end up, you know, being tied for the wild card spot and, you know, getting put down like a dog.
Yeah, I think that stuff only works at the start of the year if you continue it on. You know,
You can't force those types of things.
Exactly.
Grimace was just a stupid little gimmick that somehow
worked.
Brought us to the NLCS. But
yeah, I mean. Hey,
so what's going on in your side?
Our side actually has been pretty good. I mean, right now we're only two games back of Toronto. And then, two games back. We're four games ahead right now, the wild card. Three games ahead of Boston. I mean, it's going well right now. I don't know how, you know, obviously this week will pan out. I mean, we have easy coming up. It's going to be the White Sox and then going back to New York to play Baltimore, so it should be good. I mean, Lord knows anything can happen because it's baseball. But, yeah, I mean, can't complain from my side. We had a great couple showings in Baltimore the other night. I mean, Ben Rice had a hell of a day yesterday. He went 4-for-5 in a game-winning grand slam practically. I don't know what they're feeding that guy, but whatever it is, I want some because he's probably the most underrated player in baseball, but also, in my opinion, you know, hard to say between him and Bellinger, but he might be the second best player on the Yankees at this moment. And I know that's a big statement right there, but if you look at all of his stats, like his expected batting average is like .295, which is nuts. I mean, he's only hitting, you know, obviously his average is only .252, but you got to look at all of like his stats are just right across the board.
I was going to say, wasn't his average like .240, but I saw that it was .295.
Yeah, his barrel percentage is like 97%. It's insane. When you're having a guy that's hitting like that, I mean, his homer was off a lefty the other night. Like, it doesn't really matter at the moment who's throwing to him. So it's good to see as a young guy, but.
There's there's probably a family curse on the Rice family, hitting balls hard everywhere, but just not getting it down.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to try and figure that one out.
Yeah,
but
they're going to have to talk to somebody about that one, because that's
maybe an exorcist rough. Or,
Yeah.
They have to look into that.
I've said it before, I just hope to God that over the summer they have Ben Rice in his catcher gear all summer, and he just knows how to play defense behind the plate, because we need him in the lineup. Every day, no matter where it is. And if you can freaking lock him down behind the plate like that, I mean, that would be great. And it's, you know, not to talk about Cal Riley, because I'm not a big fan of him right now, because, you know, he's giving a judge a bid for the AL MVP, but.
Yeah, he's not letting go of that easy, huh?
No, I don't know what's going on over there, but.
58 home runs now.
Yeah, it's getting scary, but we're going to bring the average back into play. He's nowhere close and shouldn't win that, but that's just my opinion, you know.
Yeah, I think those are really the only two guys who have a bid, and I feel like that kind of goes without saying, but it's really the race between those two.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see what the writers take into consideration when they talk about it and vote, but,
yeah, it's, you know. I think there could be some blindness. You know, they get tired of voting for Judge and they want to see something. That's my only thing.
No, and I understand that too, because as much as I would love Kyle Riley to have an MVP and see that, and, you know, obviously not have Judge do it again because he's not on my team, but, you know, just as a baseball fan in general, it's nice to see different names pop up in those slots every year. So it would be nice, but at the same time, you got to give, you know, flowers to the guy who deserves them.
Yeah, and, I mean, the guy broke Ken Griffey's record in Mariners as a catcher. I mean,
It is
nuts. It's nuts. Like, I mean, I remember watching Salvi break the freaking catcher record. I never thought that would be caught again.
Yeah.
But we got a guy going for damn near 60, and he's a catcher. So
I think it'll get to 60. I don't.
Hey, man, still got a week. Who knows?
A week to two home runs. I mean,
the way he's going, yes, it should be. Should be pretty easy.
I mean, anything can happen. He could hit no home runs, or he could hit, you know, another. Seven.
Yeah, no, that's true. But, yeah, I mean, you got other news with the Yanks. He's got Volpe's back, and he's hitting. I went on a rampage last week, but that guy should never be on the, you know, the roster ever again and never should be in the lineup. But he shut me up real quick, so, you know, props to that guy.
Because he's probably listening to the podcast.
Exactly. He's got his – he knows what's up. But since he got his cortisone shot, guy's been performing well at short. He's looking, like, good on defense. Like, everything, like, even in the batter's box, it's just he's not chasing stuff. He's not rushing everything. He's going to oppo with everything. It's kind of weird to see, but good to see, too. And then he's got his backup. Caballero has been hitting great. He's hitting, like, 275 since being on the Yankees. There's no place to complain there, so that's good. And I hope that Boone uses them right, where they're, you know, interchangeable. One guy runs for whoever. Like, it's got to be in and out. One guy's not going right, the other guy's, you know, in the lineup. That's how it goes. But, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, we've talked about it all the time. Like, Volpe weirdly does good after breaks, but Boone is too stupid to notice that. After All-Star break, he came back, did great. Start of the year, coming back from spring training, was on a hot streak. So there's obviously some trend here. If he's not going well, you got to bench the guy. And they were just putting way too much pressure on dude's only like 24. Like, way too much pressure on him to just thug it out. In those terms, like, that's literally all it was. Like, they were just hoping to God he would just figure something out and get going. I don't know what.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it before, especially the playing in New York. I mean, let's say he was, you know, I don't know, a Kansas City Royal. He wouldn't have the same pressure on him as he does now. And, you know, still being a young guy with those expectations, like, that's a lot of weight to hold on your shoulders, but especially with the ruthless fans of New York.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just kind of salt in the wound almost, and it's kind of hard to, you know, get back up when you get knocked down like that. So, you know, a break probably was needed. And like you said, he's got the numbers to show it, you know, after, you know, taking some time off that he kind of, you know, refreshes his game and gets back to it. So, you know, I guess for your side, hopefully, you know, someone notices that that pattern who actually has some say in what goes on over there.
Yeah, because it's not Boone, I can tell you that for a fact. But, yeah. Like, it's like you were saying, it's tough. I mean, shortstop in New York.
Oh, you got shoes to fill.
Exactly. So it's gonna be a lot of pressure, and they were just putting too much on him. It's only a second year of like fully trying to be the guy. You gotta let the guy go through growing pains, but when it's going bad, you gotta take him out and just give him a break.
Yeah, and you can only call so much bad play growing pains. Like it gets to a certain point where it's like, all right, you've had enough time, like.
Yeah, we got to give you an actual break.
Yeah, let's try to do something different.
Even worse than this one was that he was injured. That's even more of it. Like, if this guy had this shoulder problem, like, you can't just keep having him out there. How do you not
notice
something? I was
going to say, that's absolutely on Boone, and I give him a lot of credit, especially just for rolling out there every day. And, you know, that's just being a dog. That's just going out there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Even though you're doing bad, like, you're still behind your guys, and, you know, your guys are still behind you. And you're doing the best you can, you know, and I don't think we should credit every error to his shoulder because, you know, I think he definitely
Some he misplayed. They were bad.
Yeah. You know, there's some that you can see more mental, you know, he's still got things to work on. But, you know, just going through all that and, you know, the mental side of it, which I don't think it's talked about a lot. No. You know, I think it all kind of plays into what happened with him this year. And, you know, just from a, you know, baseball player to a baseball player standpoint, you kind of hope that he comes back better next year.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't thug everything out. It's stuff's going to nag on you. It's a long-ass season. You can't just have this young guy just try to push through everything when, like, just move guys around. I don't care who was at short. If we didn't have Caballero at the time, like, just move guys around. Give him a break at some day. Like, you got to get the guy out of the lineup if he's suffering that bad. You can't. It's even more for his mental side.
Oh, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
That's all baseball is, and they need to just give him a damn break. So that's how it is. But, yeah, I mean, going back to the young guys, I mean, I can't ask for more from them. Ben Rice, you know, Volpe, they're doing their job right now, so it's good. Yanks one win away from the playoffs. They got to win this upcoming game, and they clinch. And, I mean, who knows who they play next right now? With whatever the hell is going on over there with the Astros and Guardians, I don't know where the Guardians freaking came from. Their last 10 games, they're 9-1 with these random guys and Jose Ramirez. That seems like the Guardians all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is going on over there, but Cleveland always finds a way to get back in the damn conversation. Doesn't matter what time of the year, but I don't know what the hell, man. That's just... always caught off guard by them.
I mean, I feel like they kind of go under the radar every year and just kind of chip and chip and chip, and all of a sudden, you know, they're tied with the Astros for the third slot in the wild card. But, you know, they got their guys. They have, you know, Ramirez, obviously, who's been there for years, Kwan, and then they just put together, like, other guys. They just get, you know, little scrappy, you know, guys from their system. And, you know, and that's a, you know, a credit to their coaches and their front office, just, you know, kind of staying in that in that playoff race and playoff talks every year. And, you know, I don't really, at least for the last few years, they haven't really made any big strides in the playoffs, anything noticeable. But, I mean, you're keeping yourself in the conversation for, you know, maybe a good run. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what's really going to happen with that?
Yeah, no, it's crazy because, like, I'm looking at all these stats. Like, their run differential is -9. I don't know how the hell they're 84-72, but however they got here is impressive. We got the Tigers in that same the same division. The last 10 games, they're 1-9. They're sliding heavy right now.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen in this last week. It could get really interesting. Thank God the Yankees kind of have this easy schedule and should be able to just, you know, they'll get in. There's no doubt they'll get in.
Those are teams you should definitely win the series and take care of pretty easily.
But, like, they – not to – you know, it's slim chance, but they could win the AL East. The Blue Jays are playing the Red Sox, who they need to win, which is great for the Yankees. You know, I've never wanted the Red Sox to win ever probably in my life. But right now, that would actually work out in our favor because they're not playing a team that's just, you know, rolling over and whatever the hell happens, happens. The Red Sox are going to go at them and try to beat them. So,
but you're not saying you want them to win. You're just saying it would work out in your favor if they did win.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to never would say I would want them to win. But if it happened, I wouldn't be opposed in this, you know, in this very moment. But yeah, that's the AL side could get really interesting. It's a lot different on the NL because, you know, half the teams are already clinched, and you know, you kind of see it's the bottom spot there. Everyone's fighting for, but the AL in this last week could all change in, you know, a split second.
It's crazy. Just kind of going off that, only one team has a playoff position right now, and it is the Blue Jays. But just past the East, the AL Central and the West are still up for grabs. A stat that you showed me earlier, the Mariners, according to FanGraphs, have the best percentage to win the World Series, haven't clinched the playoffs yet, and are still technically in a race with the Astros, who are three games behind, with the last week in the season. I don't really know how much that will move, but, I mean, hey, it's baseball. Yeah. Anything can happen, and, you know, things can get really, really interesting in the AL, so... You know, if the Mets kind of just take a big dump on the field like they have been doing for the past month and a half, 2 months, and, you know, get out of the playoffs quickly, then, you know, the AL is definitely somewhere I'd be watching. And, you know, just the Mariners, especially a team who's never won a World Series and has had that playoff drought for so long, ever since a few years ago. And, you know, the Tigers, all of a sudden being good for, you know, the last few years, and kind of that AL Central being a little bit more competitive, and then obviously the AL East with all their powerhouse teams. So, you know, it's going to get really interesting, and I really think it's anyone's game.
Yeah, no, it's going to get really interesting. I mean, the stats are here. It's Mariners somehow have 19.4% chance to win the World Series. I mean, who would have thought that's the highest percentage in the MLB is the Mariners? But I think it has something to do with right now they're hot and they're going strong at the right time, which is always, you know, always a huge thing when you're going into the playoffs hot, and you're gonna have a better chance to, you know, keep going. But
doesn't matter how you're playing in June and July.
Exactly. I don't understand how, you know, if you look at the rosters, I don't think that they have the best chance right now. The Phillies, I would give them a higher chance. Biased one would be the Yankees. I think the Blue Jays are damn good, and my scary one is the Padres. They're just too exciting, like on the offensive side, where they could put up 10 runs, and then their bullpen is damn near the best in baseball. So I don't know how you beat that combination, but we'll see. We'll see. It's October for a reason, and I think it's the best time in all of sports. That's just my opinion.
Would you say that's your pick for the World Series winners, early pick?
I think my early pick, I'm going to go with the Yankees, right, Padres World Series right there. That's what I'm going
with. Let's be a little unbiased now.
I'm going Yankees Padres.
Okay.
I don't like the Mariners.
That's cool.
Didn't Brian Wu just go down too?
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah.
Again, here we go, like, you go down at the wrong time, lose a starter here and there. I don't know if their offense, I mean, their offense is good, but I don't know if they could pick up that much slack. Like,
all right, well,
we will see.
My World Series pick will be the Mets and the Twins.
All right, let's definitely get unbiased there on that.
All right, so I say we cut a deal and we say we both give our unbiased picks.
All right, but my side at least, you know, is a little reasonable. I could back up stats there. The Mets are... God, no. They might not even make the playoffs, bro.
You didn't even say anything about the Twins. The Twins are fourth in their division, 18 games behind. And you're talking about the Mets?
Where are we going with this? What are you talking about, bro?
I'm trying to get you to be unbiased here.
Oh, my God. Listen to this guy. Let's hear your... I want to hear a real prediction right now. Let's hear this.
Well, I really do like the Mariners. But just like Ty said, Brian Wu is down. But... I mean, I think they're a really fun team to watch. Definitely a different team in the playoffs. But I also really like the Tigers, and the AL East is strong. Like I said before, the AL just really is competitive, and I think it's anyone's game. But I would like to see a Tigers-Brewers World Series. I think it's very, very much possible.
I like getting weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Hey,
but
those two teams don't know what the hell playoffs are. They like to lose very early, so I understand that. I like that.
I mean, it's
that would be fun.
It's different.
Yes,
it's not. Exactly. It's not an Astros in the World Series. It's not a Dodgers in the World Series.
It's not
series.
The last year Yankees Dodgers. It is
the Brewers and the Tigers.
Yes, that would be fun, scrappy.
That's a great baseball fan World Series.
Exactly. But if you want viewers, then you go back to the big names. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want people who actually appreciate baseball, then you're gonna go for a Brewers Tigers.
That's fair. I understand that one. But yeah, playoffs are gonna get interesting. It's gonna heat up real quick this last week. Who knows what's gonna happen? Our picks might freaking change next week. Who knows with what happens, injuries, all that stuff. So yeah, I think this year could be really great for baseball fans. And just all around.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, a couple other things I want to just hit on, like with the Yankees, we got, I mean, Stanton hit his 450th home run. We always, you know, we're big fans of the Hall of Pretty Good and Hall of Fame. I mean, I think that's, if he gets a 500, I think it's automatic Hall of Fame. Is that crazy to say? I mean, the guy's got an MVP and stuff.
I feel like he's done it almost a little quietly. You know, after leaving the Marlins, you know, going to the Yankees, I haven't heard many good things Yankee fans have said about Stanton.
Oh, that's
When he first got there.
I mean, Lucas Palm open you right now. That is crazy because that guy might be the best playoff performer I've ever seen.
Oh, he's strikeout or home run though.
But like,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying when he first went there, you know, after the last season he had with the Marlins, I had fans back home who weren't really happy with him, and kind of.
Well,
especially with Judge in that lineup, you're gonna get overshadowed.
Yeah, it's also coming off an MVP season in the Marlins.
Yeah,
and what he did coming in here, it's a problem. Right now, I mean, right now with his stats are decent. Yes, he went through this stretch of he just got injured so much. That was honestly the problem. I mean, the guy performs. He produces. That's just what he is. I mean, I don't see a chance that he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, honestly, because he's the way he is, the way he's going. He's going to get to 500 if he keeps going and stays healthy. I mean, last year's playoffs was insane. His run that he went on. Everything like that just proves how clutch he is, and he's won an MVP, so he's damn near one of the best players that we've seen in our generation.
I agree with that, absolutely. And
I don't see, I don't see a difference. I mean, the guy took a 90-mile-an-hour fastball to the face and came back, you know.
That's right, yeah.
Next year and 2 years and just kept going. So I think...
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. He currently ranks 41st, right under Carl Yastrzemski's 452. So, listen, I think he definitely has, you know, given himself a good case in his career, especially in his early years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see his career batting average, 258. Nothing that jumps off the screen,
but that's still not his job.
No, I understand that, but still, you know, 450 home runs, just going over the numbers.
Yeah.
42 stolen bases, fun fact.
I think you have to look at the seasons that he, like, you know, he won the MVP, he was healthy the whole seasons. Like, that's what it is. He had a couple seasons in there where he was not around for the whole season, so his batting average is not going to be that high. The sample size isn't enough where it's legit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, 2015, 74 games, 2019, 18 games, 2020, even with the shortened year, 23 games, so...
Exactly.
You know, he has those years where, I mean, you know, you feel he's got, you know, get those years, full years, and
he's
you
probably,
know, whatever amount of home runs
he might
he would
be
have hit those years.
Right
yeah,
now.
He probably would already been a 500.
Exactly.
So
I think that's the case. It's
yeah. I mean,
you can't count a guy out for not being healthy and still being able to get to the 500 mark. That's pretty damn impressive.
Now it looks about. Let me see if this is correct. All right, at the end of this year, this will be correct. He has 8 seasons with the Marlins and 8 seasons with the Yankees. Who do you think he goes into the Hall of Fame with?
That's a tough one. I think...
MVP with the Marlins. Obviously, he's going to be hitting all of his milestones with the Yankees.
I think
so.
If the Yankees, I mean, he's obviously coming to an end shortly with the Yankees. You know, I'm not saying that anything, you know, this season, if they were to win the World Series, I think he goes in as a Yankee.
Okay.
If he doesn't, I would give him, I would be like, yeah, that's fine. Marlin, that makes sense. MVP, his best career seasons, you know, early on, it's understandable, I think. Or he just does what a lot of guys do and just go in as multiple teams. I mean, that's
true, too. You know, a guy like Greg Maddux has a blank cap on his plaque.
Like,
so.
He's split right down the middle with two of his great years. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, 8-8, in a 16-year career so far. So, who knows? I mean, yeah, MVP in his last year with the Marlins. He actually has only one All-Star appearance with the Yankees.
And you know what he did that All-Star game?
2022.
He won the All-Star MVP.
He did do that. He did, in fact, do that.
Back at his home in L.A. That was a great All-Star game to watch. I mean, I can't kind of love that one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love it too if Pete Alonso did something useful, but
yeah, that doesn't happen on the Citi Field side. They like to have their jumbo on do 6-7 and watch their team just plummet in the playoff rankings.
It's fine. They didn't make the playoffs, so we connected with the kids.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. You got fans for a lifetime now.
Because that's what it's all about, right?
Exactly. You don't want to see the older fans that have watched them, through and through, be happy. No, screw that.
No, it's fine. We have people on their deathbeds who are, begging for one more World Series. But no, 6-7 and pissing down our leg is more important.
Exactly. Then we got I got one more stat I want to hit on. Is kind of funny, I think, in my opinion, is Max Fried this past weekend and week. He got to 18 wins, making him the most by a New York Yankee since Domingo Germán in 2019. Domingo Germán. Who the hell would have thought of him having 18 wins in a season ever?
What a name. What a guy.
Definitely what a guy. I mean, that guy, long gone out of the MLB, but yeah, I just had to say that one. I was like, my jaw dropped when I saw that. I didn't know that he had that good of a year in 2019, but
that might be one of the most unforgettable ones for sure.
Exactly. That's where I had to mention that one out here. I just had to put that out there, knowing the guy and just who he is and why he's not in MLB anymore. That's
not even since like a CC Sabathia or
exactly. No, we got Domingo Germán. I mean,
yeah, that's our guy.
Yeah exactly. But yeah, I mean, the pitching making up for Cole has been great. Rodon and Fried, I can't complain there, and hope to God they just continue to go through the playoffs good and
And even runs. I gotta give credit where credit's due with the Yankees. I being from the outside looking in, I totally forgot Cole was gone, and for the season they've put together, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, I not that I didn't expect the Yankees to be a playoff team, especially after last year, but I thought, maybe, performance would hinder a little bit after Cole is gone, and you guys don't have the first spot in the AL East, but pretty damn good, 88 wins. Yeah, with 1 week to go. So
I'll take it. I mean, what we got out of Fried this year was impressive. I honestly didn't expect it. It was kind of it was a weird signing. It was hit or miss with me, because Max Fried with the Braves, you got two different sides of him. A guy that could never stay healthy, and then you had an ace. But coming to New York, I was like, this guy hasn't pitched. He didn't pitch last year. Like, who the hell knows what guy you're getting here? It was a coin flip. That's all it was.
Yeah, and obviously he's got a lot of potential, but like you said, it was a coin flip with, whether he was going to be the healthy ace he is or, kind of just another Jacoby Ellsbury injured on the payroll.
No, please don't mention that name. Red Sox fans are going to love to, shove that one in our face, but I don't want to hear that name ever again, man. Especially not in the same sentence as Max Fried right now. That's just that's bad by you. Just bad.
I don't think Jacoby Ellsbury would appreciate hearing that. Because I'm sure he listens to the podcast.
Yeah, no, big time. I mean, and round it out right now, I just also want to hit on the, I mean, we talked to Griffin about this. The most impactful pitcher in our generation, Kershaw, is retiring after this year and did throw his last game in a Dodgers uniform, or at least Dodgers uniform at L.A. What do you have? What do you think about that? Coming from a lefty, you know, your nickname's Kersh over there. I mean, what do you think about that, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, being a lefty pitcher, he's definitely someone that, you know, you look up to, and just the way he throws and the way his stuff is and how dominant he's been for years. So as big of a pain in the ass as he's been to the 29 other teams, yeah. I mean, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, you 100%. Know, one of the best pitchers of our generation. So I'm glad he's gone, but, man, am I going to miss seeing him pitch.
Yeah, I mean, these past couple of years have been, you know, again, we're going to hit or miss with him because he's, you know, injuries, all that stuff. But
and he got fat.
Yeah, he did put a little weight on. But when he was good in his younger years, good God, I don't think anyone was better than him. I mean,
not
he's
at
got,
all.
He's got an MVP to prove it.
Oh, yeah.
Who, there's not MVP pitchers really ever anymore. I mean, we don't count Shohei. Screw that.
Like, no. That, yeah.
He's able to swing a bat, so that doesn't count. But the what he did on the mound in L.A. for how long he did, like how long he did it, it says something about him and says something about how he went about work and just everything that he had to do for the game was great. And, yeah, just had to kind of give a little tribute there for Clayton and one last one there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we got another kind of core, you know, core memory for me with Mike Trout hitting his 400th home run.
Yeah, and I forgot who I was talking to the other day, but I think he's an underrated player. People don't talk about him anymore.
At this point, yeah.
People
right now, with...
people don't talk about, for one, how great he was, for two, how great he is.
Yes, yes.
You know, he just, he kind of gets swept under the rug, so I think he's an underrated player at this point.
It's
he just doesn't, he doesn't get the, you know, respect he deserves.
No, he does, not anymore. I mean, when, it's rough, you know, injuries, we're going to keep talking about injuries, it's always going to come back to that with this guy. I mean, he couldn't stay healthy ever. I mean, when he did, he was MVP, 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 MVP. Like, it's nuts what he could do. But yeah. If you can't stay on the field, you can't say that. But this last year, he's finally, like, on the field for 125 games. He's hitting – the problem is he's hitting 229, so he's not where he wants to be. But what he's still doing for that team and organization, it's pretty impressive, I think,
as of right now. He has 539 plate appearances. That's the most he's had since 2019 when he had 600. That's awful.
Yes, that's
awful. And you got a feel for the guy just because, you know, it's Mike Trout, you know, three MVPs, Rookie of the Year. Even in 2022, he finished eighth in MVP voting. You know, even only playing 119 games. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I think that really speaks for that, but especially with a new generation of baseball fans coming in, his name does not get mentioned as much as it should.
Yeah, it's rough. I actually saw something on MLB Network where they were comparing him and Judge. So I'm going to ask you the question, kind of end this round, this whole episode out. Who would you rather have career-wise, Aaron Judge right now or Mike Trout?
Both in their prime?
Both in their prime, like
Mike Trout.
I think, like, we'll go whole career at a whole, Mike Trout or Aaron Judge?
Including injuries?
Yeah, but, I mean, let's go stats, too, though. Mike Trout or Aaron Judge?
Mike Trout. I think he's a more well-rounded player.
That's
with
fair.
With speed and, you know, fielding. And, I mean, Judge has his arm. You know, Judge has made, you know, those great plays. But at the end of the day, I think it's Mike Trout.
That's fair.
Put Mike Trout on a playoff team.
What hurts me to say, I'd probably say the same answer.
Oh, absolutely.
What that guy used to do in the, you know, Angels in the Outfield, that movie, that's this guy. What he used to do just running around that whole outfield, carrying that team, because God knows they're always awful. I don't know how he stayed there for that long, but yeah, I think the stats show it. His career just lined with three MVPs, the Rookie of the Year just shows it. It's that guy. Yeah.
I'm just happy he didn't go to Philly because I know he makes it known he's a big Philly guy, so that would have sucked.
Yeah, that would have made you really have to not like him, and that would have hurt just the soul as a baseball fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, well, that was eventful. I mean, it's just going to go up from here. It's going to get interesting throughout this whole week. Can't wait to just talk about it with you. Can't wait to get back this next week because that's when it's really going to be. We're going to make our predictions. We're going to have some fun there. And, yeah, thank you for everyone for listening, and have a great night.